Letterkenny. Rally cars will be on display from 5 p.m. with free ice cream and face painting for the kids. The rally discussion and crack with an expert panel gets underway at 7. Tickets for the Donegal International Rally Preview Live event are available now on Eventbrite.
Live, on air, online and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main 5 o'clock news. In this bulletin, Nadine Dorries is standing down as Tory MP with immediate effect. A Donegal County Councillor has proposed a vote of no confidence in the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien. Banks are being lobbied further to bring forward credible proposals to assist homeowners with defective blocks. And planning permission was granted for the construction of 122 new dwellings in Donegal for the first quarter of this year. These stories in full, plus more to come. Oisin Kelly will be live with the latest in sport, plus Colm Ferriter to follow with Anooked. First in news, former British Cabinet Minister and longtime ally of Boris Johnson, Nadine Dorries, is standing down as MP with immediate effect. It has been rumoured she's lined up for a peerage in the former British Prime Minister's resignation honours list. She says it's been an honour to serve her constituency, but it's time for another to take the reins. A Donegal County councillor has proposed a vote of no confidence in Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. It's in response to a lack of correspondence from the minister to calls to meet with councillors in order to discuss the defective block crisis in Donegal. This includes the provision of modular homes for affected homeowners. Councillor Michael McBride, who is bringing forward the motion, calling on the Letterkenny municipal area to propose a vote of no confidence, says he will continue to keep the pressure on until discussions take place.
I'm tabling the vote to no confidence in the minister. And the reason I'm doing that is that I tabled a motion about 8 months ago asking the minister to meet us to discuss all the outstanding issues with MICA. At that time, we received a prompt response to say that, just to acknowledge the receipt of our letter. At the time, I kind of thought to myself, this is urgent. So I asked at that meeting that we would write back to the minister again, highlighting the urgency of the situation, and we promptly received another response to say that they were they'd handed it over to a lady and the minister's department, and that they would get back to us when they could find the calendar date. So we find ourselves now 8 months on, and we have had absolutely no more correspondence with the minister. And as far as I'm concerned, there's some serious issues here, you know, to deal with. I've been asking questions about MICA now for a long, long time, and I just feel like I've been stonewalled and I've been kept completely out of the process, and I'm not happy about it, and that's the reason I'm taking this motion, and I want to turn up the heat on the minister as best I possibly can.
Meanwhile, banks are being lobbied further to bring forward credible proposals to assist homeowners with defective blocks. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says many families are facing significant funding shortfalls with the scheme being put forward by government. The Insurance Redress Focus Group is to come before the Finance Committee in the coming weeks. This is to outline the challenges facing homeowners on the ground. Deputy Doherty says the unique situation facing those affected by defective block issues needs to be considered.
We've been trying to explain to the banks, their representative body, the Minister of Finance and indeed others, that there are serious challenges on the ground for families trying to work through the existing scheme. And even with the new scheme coming in place, there will be still challenges. Those challenges go from financing arrangements to mortgages still being applied on houses that have been demolished, to bridging loans that, when houses are being reconstructed, to issues in relation to the mortgage documents. And what is not acceptable is that we will have, unfortunately, thousands of people who will be contacting their own lender and trying to find a pathway through this. What we need is the banks to actually recognise that there is something quite unique happening in terms of homes that have to be demolished and rebuilt, and they have to put in bespoke arrangements for these homeowners, how they can get no-interest loans, how they can support households as they are rebuilding their homes.
And there's serious fear among homeowners. Many people, even with with the enhanced scheme, as you said, won't be able to get their homes fixed or won't be able to rebuild them. So it is vital that something is done.
It's absolutely vital. And look, you know, we all know about going for loans in terms of your home or personal loans and all the rest. And age issues come into that. It's your employment, your ability. Not everybody who lives in a house that has defective block is in the workforce. You know, they will place additional burdens on those families. So that's why we've been meeting with the Banking and Payments Federation. I'm delighted that they have met recently with the redress focus groups, why we've also been raising it with the Minister for Finance.
The head of the HSC says efforts are continuing to improve their cybersecurity systems following the latest attack. It's understood no patient data has been accessed at this stage. It's the second time the organisation has been hit by a cyber attack. Bernard Gloucester says personal information of people involved in its recruitment process has been compromised.
Essentially, we were doing a piece of work with a partner organisation, Ernst & Young, who were assisting us to modernise one part of our recruitment process. And the part we were modernising was how we hold people on recruitment panels. So when we interview people for jobs, we usually place them on a panel in order of merit, and then we offer jobs to that panel as the jobs arise.
Planning permission was granted for the construction of 122 new dwellings in Donegal in the first quarter of this year. According to latest figures from the Central Statistics Office, 119 new house units and 52 apartments got the go-ahead. Planning permission was also given to 70 extensions, 31 building alterations and conversions, and 81 other projects in the county. Nationally, there was an increase of 38% in the number of homes receiving planning permission in the first quarter of the year. Over 11,600 were approved, compared to just under 8,500 in the same period last year. The difference the Tánaiste has made to Donegal has been questioned. Micheál Martin has said that he will lead Fianna Fáil into the general election. Dr. Andrea Redmond, who is a member of the Dhuire Development Group, says the state of the country cannot get any worse. She told today's 9 till noon show that no matter what the next government looks like, Donegal will continue to be forgotten.
I'm sure he's looking longingly down the road to the day when he can be on a golf course, possibly playing doubles with Leo in a galaxy far, far away. Because really, what difference has he made to Donegal? And this government now, I think they can see the writings on the wall. I think we were discussing Sinn Féin and what can they do to change things? Could they make it any worse than it already is? I mean, the situation is just dire. When we have, for example, a woman at the minute who's fighting, dying of cervical cancer, fighting in court, have we learned nothing? We have people who are homeless here in Donegal, housing situation. Can things be any worse? There's a sea change coming, hopefully it may be a brighter future. Is there no humanity in this government? And it just seems that they have forgotten the people in the West, they've forgotten the people in Donegal. Whatever will happen, whatever sea change, whatever face replaces Micheál or Leo, the impact to Donegal will be minimal. It'll be the Mandarins in Dublin who make these decisions. The mica crisis, where else, could that have happened? They've literally left Donegal in the cold.
A Donegal man has been appointed as the new president of the Institute of Directors in Ireland. The leading membership body for directors and business leaders made the announcement at their annual general meeting. John Reynolds, chairman of Cairn Homes PLC, is taking over from Imelda Reynolds, who held the position for the last 2 years. He says he is honoured to take on the position, especially as the organisation marks 30 years since their incorporation. A man was sentenced in Derry today following an investigation into improper use of electronic communications. Appearing before Londonderry Magistrates Court, the 29-year-old received 4 months imprisonment, suspended for 3 years. With more, here's Sean O'Regan.
As well as his suspended sentence, Ronald McElwee also had a restraining order imposed under the Protection from Harassment Northern Ireland Order 1997. Detectives from the Police Services Terrorism Investigation Unit carried out an investigation following reports of an email sent by McIlwee to two elected representatives. It's believed the message sought support from the elected representatives for the release of a prisoner who was serving a sentence for terrorism-related offences. The content was perceived to be sinister and threatening. Detective Inspector McCallum said crimes of this nature are taken very seriously. The distress caused to all involved is unacceptable, and he urged the public to contact police should they find themselves in a similar position.
The Health Minister says everything is being done to bring down the budget overruns at his department. Healthcare spending was at €366 million ahead of estimates for the first half of the year. Minister Stephen Donnelly says some of that is down to COVID spending and some is high demand at emergency departments.
More than three in every four beds in our hospitals are from people coming in through emergency departments. The numbers are up. It is a demand-led service. Obviously, everyone who comes into an emergency department needs to be seen, and beds where appropriate do need to be found. There are inflationary pressures, obviously, as well, that are ahead of the estimates. But ultimately, where the costs can be brought back down, they do need to be brought back down.
Ireland cannot buy its way out of taking in refugees and asylum seekers, according to the Taoiseach. Leo Varadkar says people will continue to come here and are entitled to through the international and European laws. Yesterday, Cabinet decided to pay €1.5 million to the EU instead of taking 350 refugees from the Mediterranean. The Taoiseach says the decision to accommodate these refugees was made at a different time.
At the time, we said we would take 350, but things have changed since then. We're not in a position to help other countries in the Mediterranean because we're under pressure now too. So relocation is not something that we're doing. We're making a financial contribution instead. But whether we like it or not, people will still come to Ireland and seek protection. It's not something you can buy your way out of.
British RAF Typhoon fighters based in Estonia have intercepted Russian jets flying too close to NATO airspace twice in 24 hours. The British Ministry of Defence has accused Moscow's aircraft of not complying with international norms by failing to communicate properly. They remained in international airspace. One of the UK pilots involved says they stand ready to respond to any task that may pose a threat to regional security. The time is now 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We're going to go to a short ad break and we'll be back with Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport. It is 5:15. We're going over to Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We'll start with football cross-channel. Seamus Coleman has been offered a new contract at Everton. The Republic of Ireland captain's deal was due to expire at the end of this month. Everton narrowly avoided Premier League relegation for the second consecutive season, with the Donegal native putting in stellar performances in their survival bid. Coleman, of course, joined Everton from Sligo Rovers back in 2009 for €70,000 and since then has amassed over 400 first-team appearances for the Goodison Park club. If he agrees the new contract, Coleman will be heading into a 15th year with the Toffees. Shane Duffy says he feels fresh and ready for a new start with Norwich City. The 31-year-old has penned a three-year deal with the Canaries. The Republic of Ireland defender only made seven appearances for Fulham last season and says he's up for a new challenge. I'm 31. I haven't played much in the last year. I feel fresh. I feel ready to go. And I'm excited for the championship season, which is hectic. And as I said, can't wait to get going. On the international front, the Regions Cup starts for the Republic of Ireland amateurs this evening with two Donegal players involved. Coghill Celtic's Lee McColgan and Bunnagee United's Jack Parker in Spain, with Ireland kicking off on Friday against the hosts Galicia. Kickoff there this evening is at 8 o'clock. Games against German and Bosnia-Herzegovina opposition are to come on Sunday and Tuesday. Manchester United defender Aoife Maignan has missed out on Vera Pauw's World Cup training squad through injury. The centre-back picked up a knock to her knee while training with her club last month. Donegal players Kira Grant, Erin McLaughlin and Amber Barrett are included and will link up with the squad next Monday, but there's no place for Inishowen's Roma McLaughlin. Captain Katie McCabe, Denise O'Sullivan, Sinead Farley and Marissa Shiva will all link up with the squad after the upcoming friendly with Zambia on June 22nd. A final squad for the World Cup consisting of 23 players will be whittled down by June 29th. Shelburne have a new majority shareholder, Turkish media mogul Atşin İlkayla, who is already the owner of Hull City, has taken control of the League of Ireland club. The move has been described by the vice chairman of Shell's Andrew Doyle as transformational. Shelburne are taking on Sligo Rovers tonight in the Premier Division at Tulke Park. Starts at 7:45. At the same time, second place Derry City take on Bohemians at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Drogheda at home to Inform St Pat's, and Cork City play Dundalk at Turner's Cross. The leaders Shamrock Rovers host UCD at the Tallaght Stadium from 8 p.m. And ahead of the mid-season break in the First Division, Finn Harps make the shortest trip of the season for an away game to Longford Town. We'll have updates here in Highland from that tie with Denise O'Flaherty as from the 7:45 kickoff. In team news, Harps are without a number of players due to injury and other players sitting their leaving cert exams. Former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen feels that after a run of poor results and a concession of a lot of goals, Dave Rogers' side really need to try and get something from this fixture.
The last game before the break, I suppose it's imperative that he get some sort of positive result after the last week or so. It's been fairly disappointing. It seems to me that Harps play really any result, you know, and they're shipping goals far too often for anybody's liking. And that doesn't help confidence. And they shipped a couple of big, heavy defeats against the more of the top teams in the league, which is quite disappointing. Like, first and foremost, you want to sort of set up when they're down there not to concede early goals. And they seem to be doing that too regularly, you know. So going into the Longford game, as I say, any result at all they'll take a positive out of for the 2 week break.
Elsewhere in the First Division, leaders Galway United hold a 10-point lead ahead of their trip to Wexford. Free-scoring Waterford, who are second, host Bray Wanderers. Athlone travel to Bottomside Kerry, and Treaty United play Cove Ramblers. Irish League Championship side Derrickview FC have signed three players from Ulster Senior League Cup winners Bunnagee United. With so much doubt around the survival of the Ulster Senior League, Gareth Harkin, along with twins Connor and Stephen Black, have opted to move into County Tyrone to play their football next season. Ex-Harpsman Harkin previously played in the north with Coleraine and Limavady. The Black brothers from Kilmacrenan were also previously with Harps at under-17 and under-19 level. In tennis, the long-awaited matchup of Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz could be coming to a premature end. Alcaraz is struggling through a knee injury sustained in the third game of the third set in the French Open semi-final, with Djokovic leading 2-1. That match is going to be followed by the meeting of Alexander Zverev and last year's runner-up Casper Ruud. The Galway International Rally, the traditional opening round of the Irish Tarmac Rally Championship, will not take place next year following a decision by the Motorsport Council not to grant the Galway Motor Club a date for a stage rally in 2024. The decision also means the Galway Summer Rally, a counting round of the National Championship, has also been canned. The MSC decision is apparently based on reports by the MI Rallies and Safety Commissions, with issues arising from this year's running of the rally. Galway Motor Club is expected to appeal that. Meanwhile, crews competing in next weekend's Donegal International Rally will be starting their prep from tomorrow on Sunday. Recce commences from Saturday morning, with signing on at the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. To golf, Shane Lowry is 3 under par with 4 holes remaining in the second round of the Canadian Open. There's currently a 4-way tie for the lead at 6 under par. Rory McIlroy tees off from 1 under shortly, just before 6 o'clock. In Gaelic games, there is one match tonight in Division 1 of the All-County League. Kilkear are hosting St Eunan's in town. He starts at 7:30. A win there for St Eunan's would move them 4 points clear at the top of the division ahead of the rest of the weekend games. And in other Gaelic games news, Jenny Rispin is hoping to bring continuity and stability to the Meath women's footballers. The Summerhill native has been placed in interim charge following last week's surprise departure of Davy Nelson. Rispin's first game in charge will be against Waterford in the All-Ireland Championship on the 25th of this month, and then Meath will play Donegal at the start of July. Sinead and Sport, Bémé Jarash, Aris Amara, Egg a Da a Clug, Donna Myra.
Grandma Godoshin, Augustin Nish, and Nuked like Colin Ferriter.
Kajima Natasha of Colin Ferriter and Shotland the Priest Kilty. Major Lurachus Conor na Gaeliga ta Rilahan Toga Ischa ig Realtas na Bratania con Faima Horch da Oralaha Larnaha da Hodge na Raktiok ta Changa Ur O Hui. Major Lishan Rilahan Kurhatus la Bonu Offigit don Commission your Gaeliga O Hui. August Process Capahan den Rolshin Tahar ig Sul go Kurhatus Lishan Processin Gan Will. Kurhatus Lishan Tri Ur Shulogi Column Killer in you. Mari and Taras Trori Lan Geliga Keda La Hart Three Canter Chli Colum Killa Oglian Colum Killa Fridge Garten August Clahanili Ekrigno Le Courcher Ellen Hori By Iad Agriachti a Pobol Geltuk de Runanol Igo Parchiot Le Clara Colum Killa the Oris Negeliga a Dagri and Pakisha Ur Contarasurukta Spragu August Courchery occur Aran Olus Atcha Runda, a winning la Hirect column killer. To fail in a man Kelcha, a Kelluru, Erin Clahan Lea, and Chacked in Shaw Comai, and Kay Duer, Egan Ela, Chacked Cantor Geltic to Nearing, Chunalt has fail in a man Kelcha, Le Cahara Bleon and Lewis, Condini a Tig Oberts, the man Cobbert Sedge, as the nation of the region Kelcha, a Crenu Le Kela. August Kellery tar crinion the nogan jerishout in your shaw, as chonskin of ere ildanach a la clar plan cruhiha na noiga a corcon kin. Ta emekti urshul ar fod na chira, ta si delig siren ashke, sta glora nish owen imon ya emekt igyon malin, August erin vai, be classiot circus la folum, nor a hagan in your space circus o kahar gere. Camcourt August Jenhi Aliantor Maria Holman O Holchol Leru Comai. Gahola Serlina Egan Siv Crenu Bunk Creative Ireland Bunk Org. Shin Mahodja Eligolier Slan August Banacht.
And back to news. Surveying works for the National Broadband Plan is continuing in Donegal. Surveys in the Carindonagh area have now been completed, with over 2,900 premises set to benefit from the high-speed connectivity. Tara Duggan reports.
€128 million is to be invested in Donegal under the National Broadband Plan. In Donegal, there are approximately 33,000 premises in the intervention area, which includes homes, farms, commercial businesses and schools. NBI crews have made substantial progress in the county, where 2,904 premises in Carndonagh have recently begun surveying work. These initial works will pave the way for the next stage of deploying fibre and includes the erection of poles, unblocking of ducts and the insertion of sub-ducts into existing ones. NBI Chief Executive Peter Hendrick says teams continue to work on the rollout plan and steady progress has been made from surveying, design, build to connection works in County Donegal. A number of broadband connection points are in place also in Donegal, including Manray Hostel, Lagowney Community Centre and Glenveagh National Park.
Looking now to the weather, dry with long clear spells and some cloud developing later in the night. Lowest temperatures of 9 to 12 degrees Celsius in light easterly breezes. To conclude this evening's news, Nadine Dorries is standing down as a Tory MP with immediate effect. A Donegal County Councillor has proposed a vote of no confidence in Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. Banks are being lobbied to further bring forward credible proposals to assist homeowners with defective blocks. And planning permission was granted for the construction of 122 new dwellings in Donegal for the first quarter of this year. That's all for now. We'll be back again with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices this Friday evening, June 9th. The death has taken place of Bridie Canny, Trenbain Carndonagh, reposing at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral leaving her home at 1:15 p.m. on Monday for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in the Church of the Sacred Heart. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Friends of the Inish Owen Hospice, Cairn Donna. The death has occurred of Mary Larkin, Nee McGee, Creve Smith Letter Kenny. Mary's remains are reposing at her late residence. Family time, please, from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Ulex Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has taken place of Rose McGee, Upper Slavery, Buncrana, and formerly of Stranaclay, Middle Illies. Remains are reposing at her home. Removal on Monday morning at 10:15 to St. Mary's Church, Cockhill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. It's followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place in Scotland of Sadie McGee Glen Rhodes, Bunnaleka and Middle Door. Requiem Mass will take place at St. Paul's Glen Rhodes on Tuesday, June 27th at 10 a.m, followed by interment in St. Drostan's at 11 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Diane Bradley, Nee Sayers, 45 Carrick Strand, Strabane, and formerly of Camden Town, London. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Castle Finn at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish Facebook page. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.